Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Live and sunny, as always, from the ancient streets of North Britain. So today, guys, I cannot get into the newer Amp Radio studios because the people, frankly, didn't want to open it for me. Either that or they're trying to tell me something. So that's, boy, good Lord. I tell you, if we ever get things on time, we'll do it alongside of me, of course, the Bat to my Robin. The Batman to my Robin? Kratos, and of course, Ryan Moody, the one and only coming at. Let's meet everyone as I'm scrolling down. And you know what, guys? I'm so used to being in the Amp Radio studios with three screens, all the equipment. Good Lord. And of course, my sound is kind of choppy. That's not good. I don't know what to do there, guys.
Yeah.
That's, oh boy.
See what happened? Right. Great. Do you want to try and reconnect again and we can restart?
We can't.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. Problem. We'll just roll on then, Tony.
But you know what we can do? Hang on, let me try to call in. We'll let everything roll. As we're playing the great music, by the way. I love that way. I can have Jesse Blair.
You know what, man? Really, If we ever got a smooth start, we know there would be something wrong, right, Tony?
Oh, Lordy. Right, hang on. Just bear with us, folks. We'll try to do a reset and a re-edit. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to... You know what? I'm on myself.
No worries. Yeah. Moody, you could hear him choppy as well, right? Not just my line.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. As long as we're both hearing it, then that's a good thing. So we'll be right back. Here we come.
We can easily.
Okay, give that a whirl, Tony.
How's that?
That is much better. World's better. Great All job. Right.
All right, guys, let's get into this because a lot to cover, and with my tardiness, very little bit of time to do it. So, gosh, you know what? Let's meet the host, guys. What the heck are we doing, Ryan? We're completely losing it. Let's get into the man himself, the man who intercepts every single pass that's thrown his way, or at least gives a great hit, the one and only Ryan Moody.
Well, good morning, guys. It's nice to have two back-to-back fights here to break down. Pretty decent cards, at least. Well, one of them was decent. We'll talk about both of them, though. And I think really for someone that is an MMA fan that didn't have money to spend and wanted to watch two free events, at least you got your money's worth, right?
You know, that's a good point, because both of those were live and direct and free, as I'm stealing that, by the way, from Proteus. And most importantly, guys, it's hard to feel bad, right? It's only time invested. Let's go to the man up north, the man who always has something to say about the boss. And I don't mean Bruce Springsteen. I mean Dana White. Hit it.
Man, I love that song. Hey, guys, how you doing? Nice start today. I'm glad to be here with both of you.
Yeah, right. Nice start as we're late. Let's give a shout-out to the one and only Marco, who every single time that your voice comes on, I always want to hear that drop, so hit it.
What's that?
What's that?
Yeah. What's actually, what's funny Marco? Is the second voice sounds like Marco, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Doesn't it? Yeah. All right, guys, let's get into it. UFC on Fox 23, Shevchenko versus Pena from the Puff Puff Gibbs Center in, I think it's Lakewood. Colorado, because technically it wasn't in Denver. You know what? Ryan and I were talking about this, and I was talking with this with Proteus. So let's get into this a bit, Ryan. You've been into the game, the MMA game, for what, 10 years roughly?
Yes.
And Proteus, you've been into it well over 12 years, correct?
Yeah, over 10, that's for sure. I can't remember exactly, but yes, for a while.
I'm going in on and off, I would say. Maybe it'll be, let's just say, roughly 9 years, roughly. So I still consider myself a newbie. Ryan, do you consider yourself a newbie or an oldie?
I mean, I've watched enough of them where I think I'm pretty well versed. I mean, I've pretty much watched every UFC. I wasn't there for the theatrics of it, but I got the gist of it by watching the cards well after they aired.
I'm really a tough guy. That's when I really started, when the Tough Reality series started. That's when I got really into it. Proteus, you've been well into it. Do you consider yourself a veteran or a rookie like I consider myself?
Well, I don't consider myself a rookie, but when I hear Gorgeous George on my show on Thursday speaking about MMA, I pale in comparison to that guy. So I'm not a newbie, but I'm definitely not, you know, right up there with those guys. That's for sure.
The reason why I ask, guys, is I think there seems to be this weird dichotomy, right, of the new guys versus the old guys and the new regime versus the old regime. And now it's even getting worse because now you're having the Todd Grishams of the world. No offense to that guy. I think that guy is I'm serious. I think that guy is a great sportscaster and 10 times better than I am, if not 100 times better than I am. But he's just not an MMA fit, guys. And I think the same could be said for Kurt Menefee, who, you know, Ryan will tell you as a football guy, great football announcer, but maybe not an MMA guy. What say you, bro?
Well, as you guys know, I try to listen to, I try to watch all of the events without the sound on. Now, I did catch a bit of Grisham doing like the advertisements and such. And when they went to the desk real quick, one time the sound was up and I could hear his voice. And what I was thinking is, the reason they've brought this guy in is to make sure that all of the Fox Sports broadcasts kind of sound the same. I mean, that's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of football or any other sport that Fox carries, that they have, you know, these announcers, they have a table at the event, and then they have the pre-show or whatever. So it really reminded me of that, of just kind of making sure everything was kind of similar. You know what I'm saying, Tony?
Brian, what's your take on it? Because you had an interesting take.
Well, no one in this situation is going to be well received. A lot of people obviously will feel like this was the replacement for Goldberg, and that's fine. That's okay. I mean, I'm not too worried about that. I mean, someone has to take this job. I think, like you said, it's interesting that they go and they try to brand Fox people in. Obviously, they need to have some continuity with their broadcast, and I could definitely see them going internally to get their own talent here. But to me, I just didn't really like the vibe that he gave. And maybe some of it is, the like you said, the old school versus the new school. I don't want change for the sake of change. But I wonder if this isn't maybe the new ownership kind of taking that initial step and saying, okay, you know, we're going to replace your guy with our guy, which they've done, you know, internally through a lot of positions. This is probably just one of the most public ones we've seen yet. And as you said, you can't blame them for keeping continuity in the broadcast. You know, they don't want to have this one-off presentation, and they put a lot of money with the UFC. They pay a lot to have that product and put that product on. They want to make sure that if you're going to watch NASCAR, NFL, UFC, that there's someone there as a viewer, maybe who doesn't follow all those sports specifically, that you can relate and connect to because they cross-brand all their products. And I don't think that's limited just to Fox. I think all networks do that.
I'm curious to know, guys, and we'll get into this because we have to move along rather quickly because we have a hard out. But I'm curious to know, guys, as we continue to see this going on, right, the new school versus the old school, let's just say, and I'll take it a step further, the new ownership versus the older ownership. I think the ownership that everyone made fun of in many, many ways, but let's be honest, I think the Fertittas did a great job of keeping the sport what it was versus – you know, the new school, the IMG, WME, IMG. And I think what we're going to find, guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, but here's a little conspiracy theory I have. hold on. Where's cue the music, Ryan? So do you think, guys, that any of this, and Ryan, of course, has some strong thoughts of Bellator, right? But do you guys think that many of the older fans will now gravitate to Bellator? If, let's just say, they're able to land people like Goldberg and people like, I don't think Roman would ever go, but if they keep landing familiar faces, and if they keep landing, albeit older, familiar faces from the UFC, the fighters, do you think that there'll be a little bit of a change where the new fans or the old fans won't really conform to any of the new WME, IMG, pro?
I think I was actually thinking about this the other day, to be honest with you, Tony, and I think what you're saying makes sense to me is that, yes, perhaps a lot of the older fans or the hardcore fans will gravitate to Bellator to see, as you said, those older guys or those more familiar faces. But as I've said before on this show, I don't really see Bellator eclipsing the UFC at any time. We still want to see high-level MMA, right? And the UFC is that, you know, until they really F it up really bad, Tony, I don't see us stopping watching the UFC. I can't see myself stopping to watch the UFC as for Bellator. But yes, I think you'll see a gradual bleed over into Bellator. Bellator's numbers will definitely benefit from, like I said the other week, not only having like the older men's class, you know, the older fighters, but also having, if they can land Goldberg, absolutely. I mean, that can only benefit them. I mean, sorry about Sean Grande, but because he would probably be the one that would leave if they brought Goldberg in. But yes, to answer your question, I can see a little bit of a bleed over happening, but I don't see it affecting the bottom line for the UFC moving forward.
I think it would take substantially more than this. I mean, you would really have to see things start to disassemble. And the counterpoint to that would be, I can respect your stance of the UFC fighters gradually migrate to Bellator, but if we look at that as a whole, I mean, even to go back to yesterday, you know, how much longer is Melvin Gallard going to be in Bellator? Tito Ortiz is already out of Bellator. So if you're going over to watch these fighters, they're not always signing the younger, you know, Rory McDonald of the world, you know, even Matt Mitrione, how much left does he have in the tank? So I don't think that you would ever have someone totally shun the UFC. There may be some people, you know, hardcore enough and upset with business practices enough, but listen, you know, I drove a Chevy for years. I hate what they did to certain vehicles, but that doesn't mean I started biking everywhere and got rid of my car. So, you know, I think it could happen, but it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I think what we will see, though, is any human being, there's a comfort level with being familiar with things, right? Familiarity, whether it's the announcers, whether it's the fighters, whomever it is. And I think people don't like change, guys. I think I don't like change, but let's continue to move, guys. Let's go into how many of you two saw the post-fight show? Because I don't think Ryan did, and I know that Proteus doesn't. Like it. You guys didn't see it, right?
I'll watch the interviews.
Watched the press conference, but
okay. So you guys didn't see DC. Well, DC has this thing of throwing people under the bus, and it's hilarious. But he will throw people under the bus. For example, he'll have Masvidal on there, who, by the way, Todd Grisham calls Masvidal. I forgot. He kept butchering his name every single time. And instead of finishes, it was finishes. But so you guys have never seen that when DC throws people under the bus? He'll literally say, hey, Masvidal, do you know that Dominic Cruz and Michelle Waterson chose Cowboy over you?
No,
I haven't seen
it's
hilarious.
There's only so much state-run TV I can take, Tony. You know what I mean? Like, I already don't listen to the fights with the sound on, so I'm not gonna stay in there and watch DC talk. Again, he's not my favorite person. So,
Funny that you mentioned that he would be doing the post fight. What a great fight to get! I mean, could you get harder pronounced names than Shevchenko, Ngannou, Arlovski, Caceres? Like, what a great fight, a Sun Tzu. Like, here you go. Here's your first card. Here's a punch and novel. Yeah, here you go. But, this is a good one. And these are all names that, you know, regular MMA fans would know that you'll just blatantly disregard. That's good. Good job by them.
Yep.
You will, but you're right when it's like the Sun Cials of the world, right? But when it's Masvidal, that's pretty phonetic, right? Masvidal. That's about as phonetic as you get. Guys, and I'm sorry that you didn't get to see the beautiful Michelle Waterson on there. And I've obviously seen Michelle Waterson interviewed, et cetera, and I saw her documentary, which is pretty darn good, by the way. It's a little bit of a tearjerker. But if you get a chance to watch this, guys, the post show, when you see Michelle Waterson nervous, her New Mexico or Arizona-ness comes out. But she starts sounding like a Chola, guys. And it's interesting. But if you get a chance to listen to it, I mean, she literally sounds like she could be and obviously she's not Latino by any stretch of the imagination, but she sounds like she could be from East LA. Not joking. Nothing. Okay. All right. Let's move
sure
on.
Sure enough,
guys.
I'll take your word for it.
There you go. Let's move on. But she is a sight to see. All right, guys.
I wouldn't know where to watch it if I wanted to. Where would I go? After the way you described it, which was incredibly uninteresting, if I wanted to go watch it, where would I go to see it?
That's the problem, right? You have to go to 618, right? If you're DirecTV, FS2 or FS1. But they're usually running car races or college football. The way they do it, you know what? It's no wonder that they want to go, allegedly, to
it's funny because you led it with, you have to see this, and then you proceeded to string a whole bunch of things together that made me not feel like I really needed to see it.
Well, if you like Michelle Waterson, you need to watch it. And if you like humor, you need to watch it. And it's available everywhere at UFC. For example, if you really want to be serious, I think they're throwing me under the bus. But if you really want to be serious, all you do is go to YouTube and it's UFC on Fox. And
you like DC threw people under the bus. So I figured maybe if I did it to you, it would be like a reverse, you know, like now that you like me more because I threw you under the bus. I'm going to write it down. I've got a list of things that I need to do again. right underneath Bellator 171 rerun, I'm going to put watch UFC post-fight Shevchenko versus Pena. And I'm going to underline it. So I'll definitely try to get to that.
All right. Way to go. I won't hold my breath. Okay. All right, guys, let's go into this, guys. Ryan is in the mood for a fight, and I'm not looking for a fight. I'm not like Dana White looking for a fight, guys. But let's go into it. Is it me or is it Herb Dean? It seems like Herb Dean is always involved in some sort of controversial finish where he doesn't either stop the fight quickly enough, i.e. Weidman, or where he – looks like he stops the fight, but the fight goes on to the second round. So let's get into this. Ryan, Herb Dean, thoughts on that?
Listen, he's in so many of them. Yeah, I mean, listen, he's like the godfather of refs. So he's been in so many things. You're going to have these plot lines of him screwing things up. It seems like he just messes them up. And it's not so much that he messed it up, it's that he doesn't know what's going on. Like, last night, you could really tell, like, he was like, okay, did I stop this fight or did the bell ring? And he got confused. If he was certain with his actions, right, if he was definitive in saying, you know, go back to your corner, you were not knocked out, that was the bell, and he was authoritative in his positions, I think he would be a lot better off. But he always comes across like second-guessing himself. And listen, I wouldn't want that job, okay? No one wants that job. But I think when you look at last night, it was clear as day that Cerrone was on the stool and did not know where he was. And they were like, even trying to cover it up, they were like, okay, look at us, you know, you're going to be fine. You're in a fight. It's okay. They were almost trying to like coax him, like making him give the answer that he knew where he was and what he was doing. But, you know, if we're going to go back to fighter safety being the predominant thought process of all these, there has to be some way to override that and say, okay, you know, he was clearly not defending himself. And you really open yourself up for criticism when you don't stop a fight later on after you've had that instance where you should have stopped it and you didn't, and you let somebody get saved by the bell, which I thought we weren't allowed to do in MMA.
And you know what's odd, Proteus? I'll give you this. Wasn't he involved in the whole Anderson Silva fiasco? With Bisping, and wasn't he also involved with the Jake Ellenberger toe stuck in the cage thing?
Yeah, it's not like saying, this is not the first time that Herb Dean has been involved in something like this. And guys, I'm trying to keep my thought process calm here because I really want to get up on my soapbox about last night. And I'm going to. I can't contain it. Listen to this, guys. That was outrageous. That was the worst thing I've ever seen in our sport, okay? That fight was – sorry, Tony, I was about to swear. That fight was over. There was no way. I mean, you could see him get in between, and that's like I said, Tony, this is not the first time he's gotten in between somebody, touched somebody, or almost touched the fighter because he wants to stop it. And I love Herb Dean. And like you said, Ryan, he's been in a ton of these fights. But – it does keep happening, and it does keep happening on the highest stage we have. That was egregious last night. There was no way Donald Cerrone should have been allowed to continue his corner. If they wanted to do him a favor, should have put that towel on the mat and said, we're done, because we do not want to send this guy back out. And I understand why they did it, and I understand why Donald would have wanted to go back out there and continue to fight, because it's his hometown, and, you know, he was performing well until he got clipped, and he got clipped hard. I mean, if you watch that replay, his head bounces off the back the octagon floor. That right there, that fight is over, dudes. Over. Not only has he been concussed by that punch, but he's hit his back of his head on the mat, and that's the worst thing we can see. And then, of course, Masvidal gets on top of him and starts pounding his face. That fight's over, dudes. Herb Dean should have stopped that fight right there, you know, 2 seconds, 1 second before the bell went. That's the correct call. The fact that the UFC even let that continue is outrageous. I mean, as a fight fan, I did not want to see Donald Cerrone to go back out there. He wasn't there. Like Ryan said, he's on a stool, and Greg Jackson is trying to get to him. He's trying to get him to pull him back, and there's no pulling him back. That guy was out. He was in La La Land, man. He was in the land of wind and ghosts. And there was no coming back from that. One punch.
Even the announcing said, you know, it takes you a minute to clear your head back up. And you're watching him, and you can see it. It's like, you know, I hate to say this, but when you get out to these free cards, I think there's still some prejudice nationwide about what the UFC is and what the UFC does. And when you do things like that, I think it really gives people the wrong thought process of this is what this is all about. This is about beating someone and hurting someone. And you mentioned, you know, it also is the corner's responsibility, but let's be honest, they're all in there for the betterment of protecting the fighter. And in that situation, you can always expect fighters to go. I can't think of one time a fighter, other than maybe Joe Warren screaming in Bellator once, I can't think of one time a fighter actually stopped his own fight. They're just not going to do it. So you have to rely on the team, and you have to rely on the ref to be the better judgment and say, you know what, live to fight another day. This one has to stop, and it's going to stop here. And honestly, let's play devil's advocate. If it had stopped right there, what changes? I mean, he still won. He only lasted another minute in the ring. He just took more collateral damage.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to get at, Ryan. He's already concussed. And if you look at the interaction between the two fighters at the beginning of the second round, Masvidal is like, you're fucked, buddy. You know, sorry.
You're fudged. You're like, fudged, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, and he sticks out his tongue and he smiles, and you look at Donald Cerrone and he's just like, where am I? Brutal. It was the worst thing I've seen on TV. In my whole time watching fights, I was yelling at the TV. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Anyways, I'm done.
You didn't watch Bellator? If that was the worst thing you've ever seen?
I did not actually watch Bellator. I watched a couple of the prelim fights, but that was it. I'm not a Melvin Gillard fan, so that didn't get my fire going.
Well, it's interesting. We don't know the numbers that Fox did yet. Obviously, Bellator did well over 2 million. Don't know what Bellator 171 did, but honestly, and Ryan and I kept texting back and forth on this, and he was literally making me laugh aloud because we were talking about Soccer Mom and this and that, but that was a horrible card. It really was. But I thought Bellator, and I thought UFC on Fox 23 was a damn good card until that point. I was really disappointed. And, you know, Ryan's right about one thing, bro. You know, it's still that thing, right? That Meryl Streep thing of they already look at the sport as a sport of what's the best way to look at it, Ryan? How would you describe
knuckleheads.
It? Look at, right, ruffians, riffraff, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. And then you have something like this where the casual fan that's not paying for it looks because they maybe they know the name Shevchenko now or Juliana Pena from Tough. And then they see this and they're like, oh boy, this is worse than boxing.
Yeah. Everything they thought it would be, right? It's a validation to their own points that this doesn't deserve to be on TV, and it's just two guys fighting that are talentless, and until one of them's incapacitated, and it bothers me as a fan to know that they do things like this to damage themselves, and it's easily preventable by just one person with some common sense stepping in and saying, "Hey, wait a second, you know, let's run this back while they're on the stool here and know this is over."
Go ahead, bro.
Sorry, last thing, Tony. Last thing. It's like restarting Arlovski Ngannou after Arlovski got knocked the fuck out.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's just like starting that over again. Like, that didn't happen. Big John stopped that fight. We should not have seen that fight continue at all.
Let's get into this, though, guys. What does this mean for Masvidal, though? Because Masvidal has been hit or miss on a mic. I really do like when he lost to Ally Aquinta, right? He just walked away and just like, that's it. I'm not going to say anything. And you know what? Perhaps more people should do that. But Masvidal's getting a little better on the mic, guys. And we've spoken about this, Ryan and Pro. We've spoken about how people want to be McGregor, but they're not McGregor. And either they embarrass themselves or just don't do a damn good job. But what say you? On this, Ryan, because Masvidal on the mic, what does this mean?
You know, I was confused what he was trying to say or do there. Was he betting $200,000 on himself that he wouldn't be beat by anyone?
I think he was trying to do that.
I thought that's what he was trying to do. Well, maybe he has that $200,000 now because he did get the fight of the night.
Right, yeah. What I got from it, guys, is that he's challenging. He's betting with Dana White that he won't get a top contender next. Is the way I saw it. But I mean, it wasn't very convincing. Let's be honest. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like playing games with the boss. You know, Conor McGregor bets on a whole bunch of stuff too, and we see where it's getting him. As far as you know, Masvidal is a total fighter. He has really good fights, and then there's times where he comes out and he just looks flat. Yeah. Go back to the Lorenzo Larkin fight. Go back to the Metzen Anderson fight. You mentioned the Ally Aquinta fight. I mean, yeah, he looks great when he looks great, but then he looks like a totally different person. I mean, last night, let's be honest, you could have put a lot of people in there, and he's probably going to win. You put anybody in when he fought Ellenberger, he's probably going to win. But in my opinion, you know, Ross Pearson, he didn't do a real good job in that fight, and he kind of just eked out a decision. So, for him to have that attitude, I think you have to go in there and fight. But I just don't see the collective body of work of him being a top-tier fighter. If he feels like he's in line for a big name, then so be it. But a lot of times when he's gotten those big names, he hasn't been able to finish fights.
And I think he's much improved. I think he's much improved, though, at 170. I mean, he looked healthier. He looked like Cerrone has looked. You know, it looked like he had a resurgence at 70s, and, you know, he wasn't fighting a can, let's be honest, right, Ryan? I mean, Cerrone was looking real good in that fight until he got caught. I mean, eating up that lead leg, but we're probably going to get into the fight later, but, yeah. What's next for Masvidal? Hey, if he wants a top 10 guy, if he wants to be fed to somebody tough, give it to him. See what he does. I mean, that's what this game is all about, right, Tony?
Well, you know what? Just to close the book on this particular subject, right? If you look at Masvidal's background, and I'm looking at it right now, his last 10 fights, let's just go, right? Cerrone, Ellenberger, Ross Pearson, and Ryan's right. He takes rounds off, right? But then go into Lawrence Larkin. That was a split decision. Benson Henderson, split decision. Ally Aquinta, I thought it wasn't even close. I thought Masvidal won, but he did take a round off. And even if you go even further than that, his last loss in November of 13. Those are all split decision losses, guys. Actually, that was unanimous. But the last three losses, split decisions. He could literally be on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what, over 10 fight run if he didn't take rounds off.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens moving forward with him. Because, I mean, we say this about all kinds of fighters, and you never know what's going to happen until it happens. So he might look fantastic. He might make a run and win the belt. You never know. But I don't see that happening, but it could happen.
Ryan, let's get into the fight that was Shevchenko versus Pena. And it didn't go the way I thought it would go. I definitely picked Shevchenko. And listen, I'm the first one to say I was 5-0, by the way, and smack my picks up. But Shevchenko submits Pena. I could have seen a lot of different scenarios where Shevchenko wins. I chose Shevchenko to win, but I didn't see a submission, Ryan.
I don't think anyone did. And if they did, they probably lied to you about it. To me, when you talk about a fight where you look at somebody and say, okay, this person has really adapted, that fight to me is one for her. And also, what a great card to have a number one versus a number two and then really solidify yourself as the number one contender. And Julia Pena is no easy out. And she was literally real deep in that armbar. But how tactical that was and how technical it was to roll her over to get her to where she totally couldn't get out of it. I mean, that's really like high-level stuff against somebody that's pretty high-level to begin with. You know, we expect these striker versus grappler fights to lean one way or another. We don't often see the striker go in and grapple and come out victorious, which to me is what makes it a lot more impressive than what it looks on paper. I mean, it's an armbar in the second round, but it's someone not known for that doing it against someone that really is known for it. And listen, to me, you really have to give her all the world of credit, and she really is turning back people in this division left and right.
Oh, man.
Point, by the way, I forgot about that, Proteus. That was number one versus two. You know what? We always complain about meritocracy and fights not being what they should. Boy, Brian just hit the nail on the head. This was way over my head. It was number one versus number two.
Yeah, no, we said this on Smack My Picks Up. I think it was Marco, and we agreed with him. But this is why this fight was at the top of the card, because it was a contender fight. It was really the only thing on the main card that had any kind of implications to it at all. And oh my God, what a performance. Guys, I did not see that coming. You know, Pena comes out in her, you know, full shirt. And I'm talking to my wife about it because my wife actually stayed up and watched the women's fight with me. So that was awesome. And I was talking to her about how it would probably be an advantage for her to be wearing that shirt and how, you know, she usually wears the right to the rash guard, right to the wrist. And anyways, we had a whole conversation about that. But to watch Shevchenko wait for her moments, I mean, she took probably 25 to 30 knees to the midsection while she was waiting to take Pena down. Did you see that judo toss that she did whilst Pena was throwing a knee? I mean, that trip was amazing. And once I saw that happen, I was like, okay, this broad's for real, right? And then they get locked up and Pena gets the Thai plum, and Shevchenko just stays in there with her. You know, she's trying to take her down. Pena's trying to take Shevchenko down and pull her towards her, and Shevchenko's just using her weight against Pena to stay where she is. What a wonderful performance. And like you said, Ryan, if anybody told you that Shevchenko was going to win this fight by submission, they were lying. Exactly. Nobody saw this coming. And if you want a good breakdown, guys, just on a sidebar, because Ryan mentioned how technical that submission was. If you want a good breakdown of that submission, go back and watch Luke Thomas's post-fight breakdown. He breaks that submission down very, very well for all you casual fans that want to know what's happening on the ground. I was blown away by this performance. I mean, Shevchenko made Pena look like she was in her first day. You know what I mean? She Pena knew how to throw the kicks or the knees to the body. And Shevchenko was what I really picked up on is as Pena was throwing the knees, Shevchenko would dig her fist into the side that was throwing the knee, you know, because that all of that whole side is in action, and that probably hurts a lot more, just like a leg kick when you're standing on your, when you're posted on your leg, if you get kicked in it, it probably hurts a lot more, right, guys? So there were a number of things that happened in this fight that were impressive. And then they get on the mic afterwards, right? And Shevchenko just laughs it off by the end. It was hilarious. I thought she handled herself real well. And that post-fight quote that she said, "I'm a master," was beautiful. If you haven't watched that post-fight speech, go back and watch it. I thought that was gold. Gold, Jerry. Gold.
So Ryan, did you get that reference, the gold, Jerry, gold?
No, I didn't, but it'll be okay. I will say one thing. I wasn't impressed with Amanda Nunes after that fight. I mean, I realize
right.
that she hasn't a whole lot of opportunities to come in, but someone needed to have sat her down before and said, listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have the number one and number two fight for a chance to fight you. You're going to go in the ring. You're going to shake their hand. You're going to say that was a good fight, and you're going to sell this next fight because it's going to be a pay-per-view. And she basically just goes in there and tries to steal the spotlight in a moment that's not hers, disrespect the girl that probably has given her the stiffest competition to date.
Yep.
And then just literally gave her all the ammunition in the world to go train as hard as she can to take her belt away before she can even defend it. And, well, I guess she's defending. I don't think that Ronda Rousey fight was really much of a defense. It was more just a beating.
But, no.
You know, to me, that I've never seen, I mean, run and run back most of the champions that come in there, even when GSP would come in there, you know, I wasn't impressed with your performance. You just don't act that way, especially like we talk about, you know, national TV. And this was the big UFC event. I mean, they didn't pan it up as much as they did before, but to go back, like we talked about last week with the poster and everything, they really were proud to be back in Denver in this building. And they didn't seem to really build upon that momentum like I thought they would, but I wasn't really impressed with the way she handled herself in that situation.
Yeah, well,
I am not impressed with your performance.
Thank you, GSP.
Come on, man.
I will say this, though, and Ryan's right. And we're going off the rails just a tad here, but Ryan's right, guys. Because so much, and here's where I'm going to tick off our lovely Pam, so get ready, because I'm going to tick her off by saying this, and I should probably not say it. But Amanda can't sell herself. Nunes can't sell herself. She's been horrible in every single press conference that she's done. The community isn't embracing her, and she, by the way, could really sell herself really well in landing both sides, right? The LBGT, I forgot how to say that, but definitely that community, and of course the MMA community. She's one hell of a fighter. I mean, she's been beaten up before, guys, where she was manhandled by Kat Zingano. There's no doubt about it. She won the first, but Kat Zingano kicked her ass for the rest of the fight. And Ryan's right. I mean, you take away the first round with Shevchenko, she lost the last one and a half rounds or a little bit over to Shevchenko. But, you know, Ryan's right. I don't think Nunes is endearing herself at all, guys.
Yeah. And one thing that I thought that they said on the broadcast while I had – it's amazing that I have – every now and then I have the sound up. But one thing that Brian Stan said that I thought was really important to realize – with Shevchenko is that she has a camp that is built solely around her and solely around her next opponent. And guys, we are kind of seeing that happen, going, you know, more toward the boxing style of camp. And you can see her reaping the rewards. And like you said, Ryan, that everything that Amanda said is just going to fuel her fire. You know what I mean? She's just going to go in there and be an animal. And Tony, to touch on the LBGT community, and I know there are some more more letters that come after that. I apologize, I don't know them all. But I don't think she needs to sell herself to those people. I think that just her being there and her getting the media that she is getting for that, she won an award quite recently from that community. So I don't think she needs to sell herself to those people. However, she's not very good on the mic. You're right. English is not her first language, and clearly, she hasn't really picked up the trash talk very well. You know, I'm not a big fan of these in the ring confrontations to sell this fight, which isn't going to happen until what, probably 6 months from now. I just don't think they're important. We're gonna see a lot of state-run promotion and state-run TV promoting these two fighters leading up to the fight. So they bother me. I don't really pay attention to them. But I did think that Shevchenko won that bout, probably 10-8.
Yeah, I don't care for them either. That to me is really something that started recently and really came over from you know, like a WWE, WWF, you know, scripting a fight between two people. There's no reason for it. You know, for someone to be in there, you know, just look at the visual image of it. Someone's in there in their fight kit, and then someone else comes in fully clothed, and they're standing beside each other. And listen, they're professional fighters. They're not going to fight. Let's be honest. Everyone has that candor to them that they're not going to do it there or for free. I don't get it. What good is going to come of that? I mean, have a press conference afterwards. Let the fight build up anyway. You know, the theatrics of it, just there's no point in it for me. I don't get anything from it. Maybe they need filler for TV. I don't know, but I've really grown leery and tired of seeing that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue that. And you're right, it is theatrics. It is sort of over the top. It's very, very WWE-ish. And I got that right. So that's odd. All right, guys, as we're running out of time, we have about 19 minutes left. Let's get into this, though. Ryan Ngannou, I know that there's a lot of hype, and I'm probably leading that hype. Being on that, I didn't jump on the bandwagon, right, bro? I actually started driving it. But Ngannou, is there any heavyweight right now that can beat him? I mean, let's be honest, Proteus. Is there anyone right now that can beat him?
Yes, absolutely. There are you could see Andre Arlovsky taking advantage of certain holes in his game at the beginning of the fight. And I know it didn't last very long, guys, but you could see that he does have holes in his game. Can someone beat him? Yes. But he has that big power, just like Chet Congo. We thought the same thing about Chet Congo because he had that big power. He looked impressive and mean and, you know, was a nice guy outside of the ring. But, yes, he has definitely impressed. He has definitely learned a lot in a short period of time. And he is scary as F. Right, Tony? Just scary as F. I would not – like – he lifted Andre Arlovsky off of his feet with that uppercut. If you go back and watch the replay, Andre Arlovsky leaves the ground. That's incredible. He's a scary dude. But he needs to definitely keep improving. I can see him getting beat, but he does look impressive. He does need to go on get his push because he's definitely marketable. I'm not too sure about what he had going on in the back, on the side of his head in this fight, but, you know, maybe I just don't understand such things. Ryan?
Well, can he be beat? Absolutely. I think Stipe would probably destroy him. He's a great fighter. He's a great talent. He's an up-and-comer. But the thing I don't see here is, first of all, I don't see Arlovsky taking this fight. I think this was maybe his ushering out of the UFC. I mean, here's a guy that, apart from getting choked out by Barnett, hasn't made it out of the first or second round since early last year. And, you know, a lot of wear and tear on him. Yes, he had a career resurgence. He's a great story. Everyone who's followed the sport knows him and loves him. But at the end of the day, this was just feeding him to the lions to help build someone's name. And, of course, they do need that. But, you know, to me, when I looked at Ngannou, He is very raw still. And like you said, for Arlovsky to come in there, he had to have known it was going to be a miracle for him to pull off a win. He did look like he was going to exploit some things. And the other thing, you know, when we look at his record, Ngannou hasn't won a full fight yet. So, there's some scary power. Yeah, he's got, you know, sleep in his fist, if you will. But he also rarely makes it. He's never made it in the third round in the UFC. So if we're going to have someone really test him, I think it's going to be in deep water. And not to say that there's a conditioning problem, because certainly we haven't seen that yet. But I think if we look at heavyweights and we talk about guys that generally haven't had the opportunity to run a full fight, they get really confused and lost in the third, or if we're going to give them, you know, maybe a championship fight at some point in the fourth and fifth round, where, you know, you have a guy like Stipe or you have other guys in the division that are used to that labor and that workload, that could probably frustrate him very easily, just like Arlovsky did in the beginning, and then take advantage of that weakness as they go forward and he gets more tired. Arlovsky wasn't a real test for him. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. Well,
here's the one thing I will say, though, Ryan, and you're absolutely right. 100% you're absolutely right. Here's the one thing I will say, though, Ryan and Pro. The fact that he hasn't, so to me, Ngannou has yet to show his entire ability. And really, I would have to look at his last five fights. But in the last three, he really hasn't even, for example, at Kimura, right? And then, of course, that uppercut where he hit Arlovsky, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple more. But he hasn't even fully extended. He hasn't really fully exploded. And Ryan's right. Who the hell knows what kind of fighter he is, because he hasn't really been tested. But the fact that he's winning so viciously without being tested, Ryan, that's the part that I find impressive.
No, I'm not saying he's not impressive. He certainly is one of the best prospects. But I'm saying is, in a way, they're feeding him fights that can really help build him up. And they really aren't that, like you said, to go back to what I said, really not a true test for him. Once he gets in there with a true test, once he gets in there with someone that's of equal age, strength, and caliber, then we may not see what we're seeing here. I mean, like I said, I love Andre Arlovsky, one of my favorite fighters of all time. I think we all have really fond memories of him. He was a great fighter. But at this point in his career, he's done. He went in there essentially as nothing more than, to borrow a phrase from you earlier, went in there nothing as a can. You know, here's your send-off. You know, you're going to help this guy's star rise. Your star's going to fall. Good luck in Bellator. Have a great afternoon. And that's the end of this. I mean, that's all it was.
Yeah. I just want to say quickly, I said this last night on Twitter. I don't need to see this anymore. Okay, Andre, I don't need to see you get your ass knocked out again. I don't need to see it. I'm done. I like Ryan just said, We appreciate your career. You were a fantastic star in the sport. But, dude, for your own health, please stop getting knocked out. Don't go to Bellator because they want to offer you a bunch of money. Please don't, because Fedor's over there, and he knows he can flying knee kick and knee you to the head, and that's it. That's all she wrote. So please just don't fight anymore. I don't need to see it. I won't watch it.
Yes, you will. That's okay.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said, though, Ryan. And, you know, Ryan and I, you know, we're texting on Friday, going over the Bellator card. And again, he was making me laugh. And I understand that's a viewpoint that a lot of people see. You guys know I'm probably a Bellator apologist, if nothing else, right? And I'm not even on their payroll. But the one thing I will say is this: there is a difference between the way Bellator sends off people and the way recently the UFC has been sending off people, because that's
true enough.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about freak show fights all we want, but the BJ Penn was a freak show fight, right? The Ngannou Arlovsky was a freak show fight. That's not really fair to those legends either, guys. Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's see. We have 12 minutes. Let's get into this. Because part of a lot of what we were seeing last night, and obviously were promos, right, with not the UFC fight night, but we were watching, of course, the UFC 208 with Raleigh Rome, gets everywhere he looks. And this is obviously in Brooklyn, right? I mean, this is a big deal. Ryan, from someone that's from the East Coast, for someone like Brody is from the East Coast, listen, any New York card is a big deal. Even if it's where they have the last one,
Albany,
Rochester, Albany.
Albany.
Right? This is a big deal, right? Right, Ryan. And is this UFC 208 card? Is this a good enough card?
As someone over here, I would actually say no. It's not a big deal. I have already grown tired of it. You've already had three of them here. You know, it's already enough. It's not a hyped card. This card, I mean, other than last night, I actually thought to myself, you know, this is strange. This is the first time they're really pushing this card. up until now, the promotion for it had been next to non-existent. I don't think there's anyone really looking forward to these fights. You have to think, you know, they just added Brunson and Silva onto this card, and it's not only just added, but, you know, recently, but it's their marquee fight as well. It's on the poster. You look at the other fights, and there's really nothing there that stands out to me that says I have to go watch this or I need to make the trip over to Brooklyn. And again, you know, I'm kind of getting tired already of the continual feeding of New York cards. I think this is going to be they've got another one coming up in New York, too. I think it's UFC, 211 is going to be up in Buffalo. So, you know, I get it. It's a market you weren't in. I get it. You know, beautiful story. We follow up. It's in New York. But now you've went, and in less than a year, really, you're going to have four events in the state.
That's true.
Like, you know, give it a little bit of a rest.
Just to touch on that quickly, Tony, before I talk about the lovely Holly Holm, don't cue the music yet. Sorry. I think that what they're doing here, Ryan, to answer or to comment on what you just said, I think that New York is getting New Jersey's cards, okay? The cards that New Jersey would have gotten are not going to New Jersey. They're staying in New York. Why? Like you just said, they're trying to take advantage of the fact that they're in New York. I'm not going to hate on the fact that they're coming to Buffalo in April. I'm not. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to that event. Hopefully we'll get credentialed for it. UFC, if you're listening, I'm ready to play. Put me in, coach. So let's talk about the lovely Holly Holm. Get that music going, Coach Tony. Woo! I'm looking at this card, and all I can see is Holly Holm's lovely figure, but I won't get too much into that. This card's not terrible, though, guys. Like, let's be honest. And they have a big name in Anderson Silva on the card. They have a not somewhat relevant fight, but they have Jacare Souza coming out. Tashira's on the card. Poirier's on the card. Good card. Started off with and topped by the two lovely ladies in the main event. Would I spend my money to go to it? Probably not. But I'm not really close to Brooklyn, so I'm gonna watch it on TV. I'm gonna enjoy it because I watch all the fights. Tony, to answer your question, is it big enough? I don't know. Like Ryan said, I think they're kind of gone to the well one too many times in New York. But like I said, those are the Jersey cards. And I don't blame them for not going to Jersey. I mean, what we heard with them not wanting to take on the new unified rules, just like Denver did, you know, I don't blame them for not going to Jersey. So even though they have to pay a F-ton more money in insurance to fight in New York, they're still doing it, right, Ryan? They're still going back to the well, so it's got to be worth their while.
I think at this point they would pay what they have to pay. Personally, knowing the way the UFC's operated and the way we've seen things play out, I think it's all spite-based. I think they're saying, listen, we couldn't be here now, we couldn't be there then, but we're here now, and we're going to take full advantage of this, and we're going to run with it every chance we get. And if you feel that means that, you know, Baltimore, which hasn't had a card in ages, or the Newark card that usually gets at least once a year gets pulled, then, you know, so be it. I mean, if that's the case, why not go back to Pittsburgh anymore and maybe move that Pittsburgh fight out to Buffalo? I mean, who knows? Maybe that's what they did. But it seems to me like a little bit much. You know, especially you got to remember from my standpoint as an East Coast person, right? This is a fight organization that didn't come over here all that often, that made me drive to Cleveland, that made me drive to Pittsburgh, that made me consider driving other places. But now all of a sudden, every other fight that used to be in Vegas, well, we're coming back out east to New York. So to me, it just seems, and maybe it's a different perspective because of where I am. You know, we didn't have that many cards out here. It was kind of a special 1 to 2 times a year we would be able to go out to an event. Now I'm looking at the possibility of, 3 or 4 events in the span of 6 months. I mean, that's never really happened.
Yeah.
Before we get off that, though, I would like to talk about this Jason Knight Yair Rodriguez fight because yeah, this is an amazing fight, man. I tell you what, I love Jason Knight. I think he's a great, great guy, unbelievable story. You know, obviously, you know, embracing the loss of his father like that, praying on TV. I mean, it takes him balls to get in the cage. It probably takes even more to pray. But you have to remember, I mean, he really got put into a tough spot here. And if you're Yair Rodriguez, I mean, you just came off headlining a card. Okay, or excuse me, if you're Alex Caceres, rather, you just came off headlining a card to Yair Rodriguez. You watched this guy grow in terms of his star power. And you know, Rodriguez is a great fighter in his own right, but he has to look back. If you're Alex Caceres, you have to look back and say, that could have been me fighting BJ Penn. If it just went one other way on that split decision, that could have been my star taking that fight and going in with this. And you have to fight with a lot of animosity in yourself and really test yourself. And he looked completely baffled. And, you know, you watch the pre-fight, and I remember, you know, he was saying, Alex comes out really unorthodox, but he's going to be afraid of my power, and I'm going to keep the pressure on him. And we've seen a lot of people try to do that to Caceres, and it's not worked out well for them. But that's exactly what he did. He had some really high level. He had a beautiful takedown where he took him down like on a hip toss and recovered faster than Caceres did to keep the pressure on him. And he got in, you know, to that choke, and it wasn't real tight, but he kept working at it. And you don't see fighters active on their back like that. He kept working and working and working until he got it to a point where, you know, he just wore Caceres out and took his will to fight away. And you don't often see that. And to me, it was a really impressive win, and I think he's got a really bright future ahead of him.
I agree with everything you said about the working the submission. It was a thing of beauty to just watch him slowly work that choke in. And then when he got it, that thing was in tight. And guys, I'm a big fan of the body lock. I always have been since Ivan Menjivar first showed us how, you know, you can submit somebody just by having a body lock on. Like people back in the day, they didn't even know what a body lock was. You put them in a body lock, they're going to tap. So it's impressive that Caceres was able to last that long. As soon as he had that body lock, as soon as Knight had that body lock in, I was like, fight's done. Fight's over. I mean, he's no way he's getting out of that body lock.
Right, but how many times do we watch that? How many times do you watch that? And you say that to yourself, like, oh, there's 3 minutes to go. He's got him in a triangle. Or there's 2 minutes to go. He's got his back. He's going to work this, and it doesn't happen. You know, somebody finds a way to reverse. Somebody finds a way to get out. Somebody changes position. Yep. In that fight, and that's like an emotional, that's the fun of watching the fight, right? The emotional roller coaster of, oh, this is what's happening. This is what I think's going to happen. There it is happening. A lot of times that doesn't exactly happen. But in this fight, that's exactly what we saw. He got him on his back. You know, he got him on his back. He took advantage of positions, and then he slowly continued to just nag him with punches until he was like, okay, you are going to give up this choke. You may not think you are, but I'm going to make you think about these punches until you give up your neck. And then as soon as he did it, he put that thing on so tight. And this kid loves to fight. I mean, if you go back, and they haven't given him the easiest history either. They put him over, I think, in Australia against Dan Hooker. In a fight really that he, like we talked about with Arlovski, they were kind of feeding him out there. You know, we'll give this country boy, you know, in somebody else's country. And he was cussing at the guy in the middle of the fight, like, listen, we're going to throw down and I want you to fight with me. You don't see that. Yeah. That's like, you know, you talked in the beginning of the show, the old school versus no school. To me, Jason Knight is an old school fighter. There's not a lot of guys in there. I'm not talking about mocking somebody like we see with Cody Garbrandt. I'm talking about somebody in there saying, listen, I'm in here to fight and you're going to fight me and that's it. I'm not going to dance around. I want you to punch me in the face and I'm going to punch you back twice as hard. And that is somebody that I really hope they latch on to and try to build his career, because every opportunity he's been given, he has absolutely made the most of it. And I would never think that he would have came in there and done what he did to Caceres, because I have all the respect in the world for Caceres. And the position that he was in after that Rodriguez fight was really something where he could have walked through somebody and you would have said, you know what, you can't blame him, because he's got to look at what happened with Rodriguez and think back and really think, like, he missed his opportunity to really, really be a big star. And I would hate to have that weight on my shoulders. So I know it had to be difficult for him.
Yeah, and just quickly to touch on what you were saying, if anybody listening has not heard Jason Knight's interview on the MMA Roadshow with John Morgan, I recommend that you go back and listen to it, because he says exactly what you just said, Ryan. All of that, that's word for word, comes out of his mouth. And very impressed. I mean, his last two showings have been fantastic, especially this one. I mean, this one really caught my eye, just the way he methodically worked it. And like I was saying earlier on, and like you just mentioned, the old school versus the new school. I believe that these new fighters that are coming up, and I know that Jason has had a number of fights and is very experienced, but I believe that he has such a well-rounded skill set that we're seeing coming up with these newer fighters, or these fighters that have been training for such a long time, as Jason Knight has been, in the new way of training. They just kind of eclipse the older school guys, the guys like BJ Penn, like we mentioned. I mean, he just got throttled, right? And so did Alex Caceres, let's be honest. He just got throttled by Jason Knight. And I'm really excited to see this next, for lack of a better word, evolution of the sport.
Yeah, I think you guys are completely right. And Ryan called this, I mean, Jason the Kid Knight, that kid is really talked about in terms of being technical, having those submission skills. He does go through a lot of decisions, but aside from Calogiri, he actually has fought extremely well. And one could say, arguably, that he was in that fight too. So it's interesting, right? Let's hope he gets the push that he deserves, because he's one hell of a fighter. And, listen, poor Alex Caceres, Bruce Leroy. Here's a 500 fighter, guys. Proteus, I know you wanted to fit one thing in as we are already into overtime.
Yes, just quickly, I wanted to give a shout out to the dumbass fan who got on John Anik last night for saying Happy New Year when the Chinese fighter Jingling came on. Li Jinglang. It's Chinese New Year, MF. Chinese New Year. Educate yourself, buddy. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, happy Chinese New Year, and I am actually going to have some, not joking, in about an hour. Ryan, anything that you want to close on before we start doing our the end of the show?
Yeah, I do want to just bring up one thing about Bellator. If you didn't, God, I hate to say this, if you didn't get a chance to watch it, go back and watch Chidiendra Wakwani. To me, I literally watching him.
Model.
If you like John Jones, right, as a fighter, but you hate John Jones as a person, Andrew Kawani is a lot like John Jones in the ranginess, in the strength, in just the natural athletic ability. And I really hope that he gets to get out of that career kill that is Bellator and go somewhere where he can really take full advantage of fighting high quality opponents, because what he did to Melvin Gillard, what he did to who else did they put, like Ricky Rainey up against him to begin with, he really is a good fighter. And if you like good fights, he didn't have a good fight that night because he didn't have a quality opponent, but you watch him, and if you didn't know who he was and you told somebody that's John Jones, they probably would believe that it is.
You know what? Sorry, Proteus. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yes,
I've never heard anyone compare him to John Jones, but that's perfect. I mean, it really is, right? That's a perfect comparison. Long, rangy, extremely athletic, fast. I mean, damn, that's a damn good.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a good comparison to John Jones and Andrew Kawani. He's a talented fighter. I mean, and let's not forget that this was supposed to be at, 175, this fight? And then they bumped it up. Like you said earlier on, Ryan, I don't think Melvin is hanging around in any kind of top-tier organization. I've got two quick things. I want to give a shout-out to Rodney James. He's been on my show. He's got a fight coming up in LFA in March. We're going to have him on the show to promote his fight. Coming up, he was supposed to try and fit. We're trying to fit him in as soon as possible, but he's in camp and, you know, training at this time when we're doing the show. So we'll fit him in. Just a big shout out to him. Last thing, cue the music, Tony. Last thing, I find it incredible that we have seen Dana White being out at more than one press conference lately since the Empire has taken over. Yes, Lord Dana, I am talking about you. It's incredible that they traipsed him out here. They paraded him out at this press conference just to mainly talk about and comment about a pay-per-view. Everybody who bought that pay-per-view, give your freaking heads a shake. A pay-per-view for a Conor McGregor interview makes the big boss man come out and talk about it. Some interesting developments, though. You hear Floyd Mayweather. You hear what Conor has to say. You hear what Dana has to say. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. And I just thought it was also very interesting that the Empire rolled out Lord Dana to talk about this at the press conference. Thought it was very, very interesting.
It's funny that we'll take total separate stances on that, because I was going to say I'm absolutely tired of it. I'm tired of hearing about Conor McGregor. I'm tired of hearing about Ronda Rousey. You go out and you have a card where every main event card is a finish, and you have people in that room that the only thing that they can think to ask Dana about is Conor McGregor charging people $5 to listen to an interview with him. If that's your stance as a journalist, then honestly, you need to go find somewhere else to work, because there was a lot of good things and good questions that could have been asked about that card on a fairly historic night for the UFC, and the only thing you cared about is this mythical unicorn fight of Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, which personally I don't care about, because I know, it probably isn't going to happen, and I know, two, if it does, they're going to want to charge like $100 for this pay-per-view, and I'm really not down to do that. To watch an old boxer fight an MMA fighter, maybe it's just me, but I really don't care, and I'm tired of being told to be, by all these journalists, I'm tired of being told, well, I should care. I don't. I'm here for MMA. I'm not here for boxing. I left boxing a long, long time ago, okay? We've all moved on. Boxing is boring. It's kind of dying away. Too bad, so sad. Let's stop trying to make boxing relevant by bringing MMA into it, because there was a couple years ago where boxing just wanted to see MMA die a slow, painful death and thought it would never be where it was. So really, just enough is enough. If Dana maybe doesn't even have to come out anymore, let's focus on the fights that we have, not the fight that we don't.
Yeah, let's not get it twisted there, Ryan. I'm not saying that I'm a fan of hearing Dana White or seeing him. I've been saying on this show for a while now, right, Tony? Why are we even listening to Dana White anymore? Why is he even speaking? And like you said, Ryan, what a waste of having the big Lord Dana there. You just stop asking questions? You've got Dana. You've got Dana sitting in front of you, and you all just stop asking questions. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Thank you, dummies.
Exactly, Dana. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys. Let's close the show. All interesting points, guys. I thought Ryan, of course, is always brings it. So great job
Absolutely.
There, Ryan. Proteus, of course, always the voice of reason. And me, I think today I was just around for the show, guys. With
Steve, no, Tony.
Studios. Yeah, how much airtime did I get? Good work. All right, guys, let's get into this. The Twitter follow of the week. I'm going to give it to the one and only Karate Potty. Come watch. There's no doubt about it. I don't like the one, but Karate Potty. MMA is a good follow. Fantastic, guys. So, at Karate Potty MMA. Ryan, Twitter follow of the week, sir.
I'm going to go with one of my personal sponsors I picked up about 2 weeks ago, Hiram Grooming Company. If you have a beard, they're a great company. If you don't have a beard, you need to grow one unless you're a female. It is Hiram Grooming Co. Give them a follow. Try their delightful beard products.
Yeah, I recently followed them as well, and I would love some complimentary beard products, because I have a beard as well. If you saw my picture that I sent out last night after the fight in all the snow, I look like the man from Snowy River. But I digress, because we're running out of songs. I'm going to throw my Twitter follow of the week out to Rodney James. I mentioned him earlier on. He's been on my show, at RodneyJames138. He's got a fight coming up, guys, and I want to push him and make sure that he gets out there, because he's been looking for a fight for a long period of time. Tony?
All right, guys, and you know what? I don't have a pierce, but I have a soul pad, so that won't count. All right, guys, let's go.
I'm sorry, Tony. You sound like you're underwater.
Am I? Oh, boy. This is all I have, guys.
Okay, cool. Yep.
All right, song of the week. Trevor Jones and Randy Edelman. Everyone uses Invicta as a walk-up song, and this is no different. Promontory. It is also after the Mohican soundtrack, and everyone uses it as a walk-on song, a walk-out song. Ryan, what you got?
I'm going to go, hopefully, a song that the USC can listen to in reference to New York. It's by a band called King 810. The song is I Ain't Going Back Again.
Ooh.
Okay, and my song of the week has just come out recently by Marcus Schistow. I sent this song to you, Tony. It's
called
Rock.
Do you kiss your mother with that mouth?
Yeah, I do. I do. She loves it. Check him out, Marcus Schistow, on SoundCloud. It's called Rock.
All right, guys, as always, Ryan hit it out of the park. Proteus, always steady, fantastic. And, of course, the all-star that he is. Me, I was around for the show, guys. Follow Proteus at Proados. Follow Ryan at Shutdown Safety. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Daily, of course, the MMA Minute, as if. Wednesday, Smack My Picks Up. Thursday, Proteus is Primetime. And every Sunday, MMA This Week. We're out of here.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.